Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, rising farmland values and higher interest rates have swung the affordability pendulum in favor of renting, not buying farmland. That's the latest from a report from Farm Credit Canada. Canadian Western Agribition finances are in the black for the second year in a row. We'll hear from Agribition Chief Executive Officer Sean Kindop about how the 2023 show went. The grain growers of Canada were not too thrilled with the federal budget. We'll hear from Executive Director Kyle Larkin, who commented on Tuesday's document. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Bumper to Bumper in Langenberg and Rokenville, your auto parts professionals. Let them find the parts no one else can. Open 8 to 6 Monday to Saturday. Call 306-743-2332.
Beef and Forage Report.
Livestock producers need to be wary of what plants their cattle are eating. Chelsea Siemens, the Livestock and Feed Extension Specialist for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture in Kindersley, explains why.
In Western Canada, there are a number of plants that can be harmful to livestock. These include native plants, weeds, and even seeded crops and forages. Some of these plants are toxic at all times, while others accumulate harmful substances only under certain conditions. Some plants result in illness or death immediately, while others may cause issues days or weeks after being consumed. Livestock may develop symptoms ranging from mild to fatal, depending on the plant. Acutely poisonous species found in Saskatchewan include water hemlock, seaside arrowgrass, and death camas. Ingestion of a relatively small amount of plant material can cause serious illness or death. Some common weeds, like kochia and lamb's quarters, are not necessarily poisonous, but can accumulate high levels of nitrate. Seeded annual plants used for forage, including cereal grains, canola, and other brassica species, are also prone to nitrate accumulation. When nitrate content is the concern, a feed test including nitrate analysis can identify potential issues. Species such as narrow-leaved milk vetch and two-grooved milk vetch can accumulate dangerous levels of selenium. Selenium is an important trace mineral for livestock, but it is required in small amounts, and too much can result in toxicity. Livestock often avoid poisonous plants under normal grazing conditions. However, when other forage is limited, livestock are more likely to consume undesirable plants. Early spring and late fall are times when livestock may be hungry and searching for green forage, causing them to graze poisonous species. Dry conditions can result in grazing or haying areas that are not normally used and which may contain poisonous plants. Some poisonous plants remain dangerous when preserved as dry feed, so hayland as well as pasture should be scouted for potential problems. Most cases of poisoning are difficult to diagnose and treatment may not be possible. Often the only indication is finding sick or dead livestock. Identifying poisonous plants and restricting access by livestock are the most effective management strategies for preventing losses. Poisonous plants can be difficult to distinguish from similar-looking non-poisonous plants. If poisonous plants are suspected, use caution and don't handle plants with bare hands, as some are also toxic to humans. For more information, please contact your local regional services office or call the Agriculture Knowledge Center at 1-866-457-2377.
Chelsea Siemens is the Livestock and Feed Extension Specialist for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture in Kindersley. And that's today's Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
The 2024 federal budget released Tuesday afternoon has drawn mixed reactions from ag groups across Canada. The Canadian Cattle Association, or CCA, states that they were cautiously optimistic to see recognition of the effectiveness of the livestock deferral tax. CCA President Nathan Finney believes the announcement was an indication that the government will make a change and work with ranchers to find a solution that addresses extreme weather challenges for producers across the country. Meanwhile, the Dairy Farmers of Canada, or DFC, say that they welcome the capital gains exemption on the sale of small business shares and farming and fishing property to $1.25 million, as most dairy farmers own land. The DFC went on to note the government's commitment to help protect farmers from the effects of climate change, but they said they were disappointed that the government has not taken this opportunity to specifically commit to revising Canada's business risk management programs for agriculture. Many industry sectors are having trouble finding skilled workers in today's labor market. Prairie agricultural equipment manufacturers, which are often located in smaller communities, are feeling that pinch as severely as anyone. The Agricultural Manufacturers of Canada, or AMC, an association representing that industry, has been working on behalf of its membership to address the problem. In a joint announcement today, AMC and the Saskatchewan government unveiled a new program to help encourage people to consider careers in agriculture and agricultural equipment manufacturing. A new high-tech careers in ag mobile skills lab will begin a summer tour of Saskatchewan at Ag in Motion July 16th to 18th to help develop a talent pipeline for ag and ag equipment manufacturing. The program is getting $300,000 from the Saskatchewan government. Canola futures broke below major chart support levels in mid-April, with nearby price trends all turning lower as attention in the market turns to the upcoming crop. July canola fell below its 20 and 100-day moving averages, settling right on its 50-day moving average, around $623 per metric ton on April 17th, after losing nearly $30 per metric ton Canadian in the span of 5 days. Markets farm analyst Mike Jubenville says there was little supportive news in the markets to provide any upward momentum, noting that if there's bearish news or no news, we go down. While most of the Canadian prairies are still dealing with some element of dryness, there has been welcome precipitation recently, and Jubenville says there was no real production concerns ahead of spring seeding. Meanwhile, he says the lack of export demand for old crop canola continues to overhang the market. Planted dry bean acres in Manitoba are expected to increase for 2024-25. While Statistics Canada projected the province to see 201,000 acres, a specialist with Manitoba Agriculture said those acres are likely to be a little bit below the StatsCan estimate. Dennis Lang, Industry Development Pulses Specialist, says dry bean producers seeded about 145,000 acres in 2023-24. For 2024-25, he says that should increase to just short of 200,000 acres. Lang says dry bean yields in 2023-24 were quite good, but below the record yields in 2022-23. Nevertheless, that decent harvest last year led farmers to make plans to plant more dry beans. Lang says current soil conditions in Manitoba's dry bean growing areas are not a major concern, as planting takes place most often from mid to late May. The BC government says it will begin aerial spraying to combat the invasive spongy moth in several regions this month. The Ministry of Forests says the moths pose a threat to forests, farms, and orchards, and insecticide treatments are planned for a number of communities, including Victoria, Nanaimo, Salt Spring Island, and other locations in the Okanagan and the Lower Mainland. The ministry says the moth caterpillars strip trees of leaves and have been problematic in Ontario and the eastern U.S. It says the treatments will use an insecticide called 4A48B, which kills moth and butterfly larvae, and the spraying treatments will occur this month and last into mid-June. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. And that's today's Ag Review. It's time now to head back out once again to Tanya Cherry.
At Yorkton Hyundai today, and it's easy to find us, 115 Palliser Way. You're coming into town. Stop on by, go for a test drive, see what it's like, see how it feels, and find the vehicle that you want, that you need. It's a fun experience getting a vehicle, right? So that's exactly what they're going to do for you here at Yorkton Hyundai. They're going to make it fun. It's the Hyundai Race to the Cup sales event. Their programs right now are fantastic. You want to make the most of them. And their inventory is unreal. They have so many different vehicles on the lot. Is it the Elantra that you want to take a look at? Maybe it's a Sonata. We just talked about that with Taylor. Brand new, fully redesigned, gorgeous luxury vehicle. How about the Venue? The Kona? Tucson? Maybe you're like me and it's like, I need more space in my vehicle. Okay, Palisade or the Santa Fe? They've got that right here in the showroom. Maybe it's a Santa Cruz. They have lots of options. They have pre-owned. They have new. They have kind of every single thing that you need right here in one place. So if this is where you want to come, we invite you down. 115 Palliser Way. It's Yorkton Hyundai.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. We have some light snow and minus 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. The grain growers of Canada were not too thrilled with the federal budget. In fact, Executive Director Kyle Larkin says agriculture was mentioned just 6 times in the document. He felt there were a lot of items missing.
One of those is an investment in trade-enabling infrastructure. We know that there are severe delays and choke points in our supply chains, especially around when you think of the Port of Vancouver, where the majority of grain is exported through. They've been asking for years now for billions of dollars of needed and critical investments, and none of that was included in there. There's also a lot of other trade-enabling infrastructure across the country that is in dire need of investment, and we didn't see any of that in the budget. So fairly disappointed on that. Also disappointed on the research and development piece. As grain farmers know, the best way for them to increase crop yields and feed a growing global population is through plant breed innovation and plant varietal innovation. Unfortunately, there was nothing in the budget as it relates to that. We've seen a reduction in public sector plant breed innovation investment over the past few years. We were hoping to see something that would bring that back up. You know, we know our public breeders are especially important across the prairies, and unfortunately, the funding is lapsing in a number of areas. And the last piece I would talk about is accelerated capital cost allowance, bonus depreciation. Grain farmers have been able to enjoy bonus depreciation rates of 45% for the past 5 years. Unfortunately, that 45% is winding down to 15% from now up until 2028. So that incentive that allows grain farmers to buy the latest and greatest combine, tractors, grain dryers, unfortunately, is going away. And at the same time, while Canadian grain farmers have been able to enjoy 45% bonus depreciation, American grain farmers have been at 100%. So not only have we already been behind, but if this goes back down to 15%, we'll be even further behind some of our largest competitors globally.
Larkin notes a $500 million commitment to support the production of biofuels in Canada. That money is through the Canada Infrastructure Bank, under its Green Infrastructure Investment Stream.
As folks know, we have the Clean Fuel Regulation here in Canada. The government in their budget proposed to create a $500 million fund out of that Clean Fuel Regulation that would support the development of biofuels in Canada. So, you know, I would say that most of the budget was disappointing. This was probably the only positive note that I could find and pull out of it. As you know, biofuels is a great opportunity for canola farmers and soybean farmers in Canada. It allows them to get a better price, and it also allows for a circular economy to be created, and it adds to Canada's economy and job growth. So, you know, really what we're looking for is a circular economy where you have the canola farmer grow the canola, drop it off at the canola crushing plant where it gets crushed in the canola oil. That canola oil then gets transformed somewhere in Canada to biodiesel, and then that biodiesel is used in that canola farmer's combine to lower their own greenhouse gas emissions. So it's a great circular economy that not only creates, you know, extra income for that farmer, but it also creates extra jobs in Canada and also creates extra economic development.
Overall, Larkin believes the budget fell short on committing to a full review of the Canada Grains Act, as well as regurgitating a commitment from last year's budget of launching consultations on amending the Copyright Act to support the interoperability of farm equipment, which is planned for this June.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 175.37 today. That's up 5. August live cattle closed at 173.52, up 75. May feeder cattle closed at 242.55, up 227. August feeder cattle closed at 254.30, up 217. May lean hogs closed at 94.72, down 20. June lean hogs closed at 102.70, down 2. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton.
Good afternoon, cattle producers. Here is your HLS Yorkton Market Report for the week ending April 19th. It was a rainy, snowy, cold day in Yorkton, but through the sale ring doors, it was hot. We sold calves in an actively stronger market with the top-cut cattle in high demand. With 1,784 head in the sort and 341 cows and bulls, we finished the day with 2,089 head. Here are some highlights on the steer trade. 414-pound black steers, 492, 584-pound exotic steers, 429.50. 633-pound tan steers at 417. We had a one-owner set of 682-pound blacks. They brought 392. 788-pound tan steers, 355.50. We had another one-owner set of black and black baldy steers, 862 pounds they weighed at 330, 868-pound exotic steers, 330, and we also had another one-owner pen of black steers, 47 head weighing 902 pounds, brought 314, 937-pound tans at 310. On the heifer trade, 420-pound blacks at 421, 489-pound exotics, 404, 565-pound tans at 379, 634-pound blacks at 361, 709-pound red Angus heifers at 320.5, 789-pound exotics, 315.25, 862-pound tans at 303.75, and 940-pound tans at 295.50. On the slaughter trade, we sold cows and bulls on a higher market again this week. B1, D2 cows 160 to 180, sales to 191, 195, D3 cows 130 to 155, thin, shelly, older blemish cows, $1 to $1.25. Our cows averaged $1.67. On the bull trade, big, hard, strong bulls, $1.80 to $2, sales to $2.14.5. Medium bulls, $1.40 to $1.70. From that Grenfell country, a 3,025-pound Simmental bull brought $2.12.50. Our bulls averaged $1.90. Reminder, once again, folks, there's no sheep sale this Friday. We are still accepting bookings for next week's pre-sort, but we will not turn you away. We do ask you book so we can prepare for our staff and buyers. This has been Carter with your HLS Yorkton Market Report. Have a great day, and thank you for being a part of our industry.
And it's time now to check in once again with Tanya Cherry.
Thank you, Doug. We're having too much fun here at Yorkton Hyundai, talking to Ron Caban one more time. And Ron, this is just such a fun place to be.
Yeah, it was fun this morning. Yeah, we had not as much activity as I thought it would be, but I know it's coming because we have all the vehicles here. The weather's going to get better by the weekend here, so we're looking forward to seeing everybody come on in. Like I said, we spoke earlier about the new Santa Fe's. You took a look at it. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Tanya?
Oh, my goodness, I want it. It's beautiful.
I know. There's something else. The new Konas, we got a ton of them right now in Tucson's, so, and a few Elantras. So we got lots of stuff to look at. We got a few pre-owned, of course, to come look at. Again, our service department, we've got 5 journeymans in the back. We're here to look after you if you need anything there. We're doing the tire swaps, doing whatever else you need, so that's all good. And parts department, we also sell all makes and models of parts as well, so that's good. You can come in and see them for that. So yeah, it's a great place to come look at a car, see a SUV, see a truck. Come on down. Appreciate the business.
It really is. Right here, 115 Palliser Way. They have everything in one spot. It's Yorkton Hyundai.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Rising farmland values and higher interest rates have swung the affordability pendulum in favor of renting, not buying, farmland. That's according to a recent online article by Farm Credit Canada, or FCC, that delved into the dollars and cents of the renting or buying decision. Generally, the cost to rent farmland is lower than financing a purchase, making renting a worthwhile option to explore. It can support cash flow and minimize financial risk to the overall farm operation. The best way to analyze this decision is what's known as the rent-to-price ratio, which is the cash rental rate per acre divided by the value of that acre of land. The result is a ratio that is measured as a percentage. For example, land worth $5,000 an acre with a rental rate of $100 an acre would have a rent-to-price ratio of 2%. The largest increase in farmland values in 2023 were in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Quebec. With rental rates rising at a similar pace overall in those provinces, the ratio remains stable. Alberta had a rent-to-price ratio of 2.4% in 2023, down from 2.6% in 2022. Saskatchewan was at 3.1% both years. Manitoba was at 2.4% both years. Cash rental agreements are often negotiated for longer periods, which encourages better land stewardship and more predictability for both parties. There is also considerable fluctuation in each province's cash rental rates and farmland values. The high-end RP ratio is usually seen on farmland with the lowest value per acre in the province. Specialty crops like potatoes are generally negotiated at higher prices than other crops. Renting farmland can complement land purchases and is often part of long-term strategic growth plans, but FCC says a lot goes into that decision.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. May canola closed at $608.70, down $2.90. July canola closed at $622.30, down $1.50. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $638.75, that's up 5.5 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $577.25, up 4.5 cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $536.75, down 0.25 cents. May corn closed at $426.75, down 3.5 cents. May soybeans closed at $11.34.25, down 15.25 cents. May oats closed at $3.54.75, that's up 5.5 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. Canadian Western Agribition finances are in the black for the second year in a row. There was a net profit of $75,000 last year, just slightly lower than the $83,450 in 2022. This is Agribition Chief Executive Officer Sean Kindop speaking at yesterday's annual general meeting in Regina.
For a second consecutive year, we've got record revenue at $4.86 million. We've got a second consecutive year of record sponsorship at over $1.3 million. A second consecutive year of record rodeo attendance. So when you look at coming out of a pandemic and of looking at what the state that Canadian Western Agribition is in, it's in a good state and we're trending upwards.
Total attendance was 142,807 for the 6 days, the most since 2005. Kindop says even though there is a lot of competition for sponsorship dollars, Canadian Western Agribition remains an important brand.
We want to be the organization that is left in those budgets as you move forward. So that's something we're quite excited about on. But in again, the new team that we have, all of the emphasis with momentum, again, is still stopping and looking around and making sure that we've got processes in place to ensure that we, again, are fiscally responsible, but also looking to streamline our processes and our efficiencies.
Kindop notes there were several new initiatives last year, such as a golf tournament and the Canadian Animal Ag Tech Awards. The Canada Grains Council and many of its member organizations are concerned about a large fee increase being proposed by Health Canada for the functions of the Pest Management Regulatory Agency, or PMRA. Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com has this report.
Mac Ross, Vice President of Trade Policy and Crop Protection with the Canada Grains Council, says Health Canada has been consulting on a proposal to update registration fees for crop protection products. The proposal is to raise fees by 48%.
So Health Canada is proposing to apply about $6,130 annual charge to each pest control product registration. So that's an increase from the current charge of around $4,000. And, you know, while that might not sound by much, when you take into account, you know, the number of registered actives, how we kind of stack up against the U.S. market, you know, we as industry recognize the need to review and update Canada's pesticide fee structure, but we're concerned that the magnitude of the proposed increase could potentially disincentivize continued investment into crop protection innovation in Canada. And also we're worried about any increased costs that could be faced by Canadian growers.
Mac Ross says there are about 7,500 registered products in Canada. He says registration costs are less in the U.S., and the U.S. is a much bigger market. The increased cost in Canada could mean fewer new products registered, directly impacting the competitiveness of Canadian growers. Ross worries this move to increased cost recovery by Health Canada is ignoring the public benefits of registering crop protection products.
As we know, there's environmental benefits that the responsible use of registered pesticides provide, and so things like conservation tillage, we know, is largely enabled using non-selective herbicides to control weeds in place of tillage. We know by controlling pests and diseases with pesticides, they help us increase productivity here in Canada and in the agricultural sector and positively contribute to food security. So a number of factors that we feel maybe weren't appropriately considered in deriving that fee-setting ratio that led to this significant increase that they're proposing in annual fees.
Ross says if the fee increase does go ahead, it should be accompanied by an increase in service.
There's been a number of things that the Canadian grain sector has been advocating for many years when it comes to the PMRA's pesticide reevaluation program, for example. So ensuring that they're providing early and meaningful stakeholder consultation throughout that process so that we, you know, aren't surprised by what a proposed decision is proposing for a certain active and then have to, you know, generate data or provide a bunch of comments. We've also, you know, been very supportive of developing and implementing a national water program to ensure that we have proper data on pesticide and that having that real world data would allow the PMRA to hopefully make less risk averse decisions if they're missing some of that data. So things like that we'd like to see move forward if there's going to be a higher fee structure for industry to pay.
The consultation process on the fee increase is now closed. For SaskAg Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Canadian Association of Farm Advisors is holding their Top Farms 2024 conference on May 15th at the Atlas Hotel in Regina. You can go ahead and book at the Atlas Hotel for rooms which are available only until tomorrow for a special rate. And of course, the event itself will begin Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for a casual supper as well. So once again, the Casual Supper, and the Canadian Association of Farm Advisors Top Farms 2024 at the Atlas Hotel. You can register at their website. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, a 70% chance of flurries that'll diminish, 1 to 2 centimeters possible. Winds northwest at 25 to 40 and a high of minus 2 degrees. For tonight, a 60% chance of light snow. Winds northwest at 25 to 40, gusting higher at times, and a low of minus 5. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy with a 30% chance of early scattered flurries. Winds northwest at 20 to 40, a high of 0, and an overnight low of minus 6. For Saturday, sunny, a high of 5. Sunday, mainly sunny, a high of 10, and Monday, partly sunny, a high of 8. In the Paw, it's minus 5 degrees, Swan River minus 3, Dauphin and Shoal Lake Russell minus 2, Brandon plus 1, Roblin minus 4. Regina, Broadview, Mooseman, and Indian Head all reporting in at minus 4 degrees, Saskatoon and Hudson Bay minus 5, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 6. The Yorkton-Melville region has some light snow, a north-northwest wind at 28, gusting to 39 kilometers an hour. 78% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 4 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 11 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.